I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a quite interesting and informative show in store for you this evening. And before we get to that information, which will relate a lot to the concept of the placebo effect and relate that concept to every area of your life, expand on the ideas of self-healing and how to distance yourself from the medical establishment and pharmaceutical industry, we're going to have some hot tips on reality creation with Bashar's Big Four, as I call them, and also sharing of the original Lord's Prayer, as discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But before we get into all that, I'd first like to express my gratitude, thanks, and appreciation to our listening audience. And I try to make a point of doing that. Hopefully it doesn't turn into a ritual because, you know, I truly, truly am appreciative of our listening audience because the fact is without that audience, I wouldn't be doing the program. And I love doing ET Yoga and try to give you the most up-to-date information that I can find to give you information that you can pick and choose from to help in your spiritual progress, and at the same time, it's a constant learning process for me as well. And for those who have taken the time to email me with ideas about program content or sharing of your successes with techniques you've heard on ET Yoga, really makes my week to get those kind of emails. So if you have something that you'd like to share, a question to ask, I'm able to pretty much answer everybody at this point. And you can always email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paper as in paper, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I'm also very appreciative of those folks who have supported my website at maxwellgreensite.com. And the name of that site is Healing the Known and the Unknown. And, of course, that's where the funding comes for me to do ET Yoga. So if you find something on the website of interest, appreciate your support. Okay, now to start off tonight, a couple of notes. Number one, we had some discussion last week. We talked about torsion fields and very, very fascinating subject and how the center of our galaxy is, I believe, going to play a major role in behavior on this planet in the long run, and maybe as soon as in the short run as we seem to be involved in that already. But one of our listeners, Drew from Connecticut, has made a connection from that discussion last week about the torsion fields to a person called Marco Rodin and the Rodin coil, R-O-D-I-N coil, C-O-I-L. And Drew explains that it is presently being used by the U.S. government in antennas that protect the four corners of the continental U.S., It's also used in treatment of some cancer patients and in research to develop and patent new computer information compression schemes. And that stuff can be Google searched under Rodin coil. And as I mentioned last week, when I first became aware of this whole concept about torsion fields, it was from the David Wilcock material. And that's at the site... Divine Cosmos. And also, he's also connected there with raw material, and of course, the Edgar Cayce information is also connected there with David. So it's kind of all an interesting little package there. And I certainly appreciate hearing from Drew again, because he expands on some of the things that are presented on the show, and again expands my learning on this end. So thanks, Drew, for taking that time. Also, I'd like to make mention of I watched several of the streams that were on Project Camelot of the most recent Awaken Aware conferences in California that were put on by Project Camelot. And one of the speakers was Alex Collier. Now, I'm not, you know, I'm mostly connected with information from Pleiadian, Sirian, Arcturian, and Esasani information, but Alex purports to be a contactee of the Andromedans, and from the materials that I've seen and from what I've heard him speak, everything seems legit from my end. In other words, I sort of have a gut feeling this guy's for real, as I did about, 30 years ago with Billy Meyer and his contacts with the Pleiadians. I felt in my gut that that was a for-real experience as well. And Alex is passing on just a little information concerning the flu vaccine, and he's saying that the Andromedans had asked him to relate to him, and he's passing on the word that apparently these vaccines would cause permanent damage to your DNA. So I just want to pass that on for what it's worth, and you can actually check out Alex as there's a stream at Project Camelot. And I had mentioned that I would share with people the original Lord's Prayer, and I find this quite fascinating, actually. And where did I find it, you may ask? Well, in the book UFO Contact from the Pleiades. And from what I understand now, this book you can't really get a hold of these days, or if you do, you go on eBay and they're about $400. But back in the 1980s or sometime when I first got a hold of this book, it was, you know, regular price. And this information was purportedly given to Billy Meyer through Semjaze, who was a Pleiadian, but this is information, and this is a literal translation from material that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And this is how it goes. My Spirit Almighty, my Spirit who is all-knowing, almighty, and all-loving in me, your presence be sanctified. Your presence confirms to me your controlling power over all matters concerning myself. May your wisdom become conscious to me. May your power be extended in this consciousness of my thoughts in order to enable me to apply all truths, wisdom, and love, peace, and freedom given to and acquired by me and all mankind. May your power be extended in me on earth as well as in heaven. May your power become effective in me in all material as well as spiritual aspect. Please furnish me with all I need for living each day. Please give me all I need for my material as well as my spiritual life and development, for you are almighty. So that I acknowledge my errors, so that I may recognize my faults and eliminate them since they hinder me on my way of evolution. Please do not lead me into temptation but to right decision. Please do not let me make error by material and wrong thinking or become dependent on dogma and will to believe. For you are in me as power and wisdom for eternity. May I become conscious of your almighty forces inside me all the time. Now, I don't mind telling you, that's my favorite version of the Lord's Prayer. And to kind of move on to the main topic tonight, which is the power of the placebo. The fact that taking a faux drug can powerfully improve some people's health is the so-called placebo effect, and has long been an embarrassment to the serious practice of pharmacology. And one of the companies, Merck, decided a few years back that they needed to dominate the central nervous system and came out with this MK-869, an antidepressant drug that tested brilliantly early on with minimal side effects. And Merck touted its game-changing potential at a meeting of about 300 securities analysts. But tests with the placebo were equally as effective. And apparently, I just learned this week that I guess due to a lot of products that were put on the market that really had no effect, there's been some laws passed that in order for a drug to actually be out there on the market, it has to outperform the placebo effect in at least two test trials. So we can kind of use that as a baseline. And the upshot of all this is that fewer new medicines to patients and more financial woes are happening for the beleaguered pharmaceutical industry. And last November, a new type of gene therapy for Parkinson's disease, championed by the Michael Fox Foundation, was abruptly withdrawn from phase two trials after unexpectedly tanking against the placebo. And a stem cell startup called Osiris Therapeutics got a drubbing on Wall Street in March when it suspended trials of its pill for Crohn's disease, an intestinal ailment, citing an unusually high response to placebo tests. And 2 days later, Eli Lilly broke off tests on a new schizophrenia drug when volunteers showed double the expected level of placebo response. And some products that have been on the market for decades, like Prozac, are faltering now in more recent follow-up tests. And it is as if the placebo effect is somehow getting stronger. And the fact that an increasing number of medications are unable to beat sugar pills has thrown the industry into a crisis. And some of these basic assumptions that were invalidated, well, assumption number one was that if a trial was managed correctly, a medication would perform as well or as badly in a Phoenix hospital as one found in a Bangalore clinic. However, it was found that geographic location alone could determine whether a drug beat the placebo or crossed the futility boundary. And by the late 90s, for example, the classic anti-anxiety drug diazepam, also known as Valium, was still beating placebo in France and Belgium. But when the drug was tested in the United States, it was likely to fail. And Prozac performed better in the U.S. than it did in Western Europe and South Africa. And mistaken assumption number two was that the standard test used to gauge volunteers' improvements in trials yielded consistent results, but that was found not so either. It was discovered that ratings by trial observers varied significantly from one testing site to another. And it was like finding out that the judges in a tight race each had a different idea of where the finish line was. So further research indicated that the brain produces its own analgesic compounds called opioids, released under conditions of stress. And further, after 15 years of research, many biochemical reactions responsible for the placebo effect have been uncovered and include a broad repertoire of self-healing responses. And placebo-activated opioids not only relieve pain, they also modulate heart rate and respiration. And the neurotransmitter dopamine, when released by placebo treatment, helps improve motor function in Parkinson's patients. Mechanisms like these can elevate mood, sharpen the cognitive ability, alleviate digestive disorders, relieve insomnia, and limit the secretion of stress-related hormones such as insulin and cortisol. And in a study done last year at Harvard Medical School by Ted Kapchuk, they focused on irritable bowel syndrome,
a painful disorder that costs more than $40 billion a year worldwide to treat. And first, the volunteers were placed in three groups. One group was simply placed on a waiting list, because researchers know that some patients get better just because they sign up for a trial. Another group received placebo treatment from a clinician who declined to engage in small talk. And volunteers in the third group got the same sham treatment from a clinician who asked them questions about symptoms, outlined the causes of IBS, and displayed optimism about their condition. Well, not surprisingly, the health of those in the third group improved most. In fact, just by participating in the trial, volunteers in this high interaction group got as much relief as did people taking the two leading prescription drugs for this disease, and the benefits of their bogus treatment persisted for weeks afterward, contrary to the belief widespread in the pharmaceutical industry that placebo response was short-lived. So these new findings tell us that the body's response to certain types of medication is in constant flux and affected by expectations of treatment, conditioning beliefs, and social cues. But why would the placebo effect seem to be getting stronger worldwide? Well, many researchers believe the ads for pills that connect with peace of mind and pleasurable activities evoke such uplifting associations that they set up the kind of expectations that induce a formidable placebo response. And ironically, as the pharma's attempt to dominate the central nervous system has ended up revealing how powerful the brain really is, the placebo response doesn't care if the catalyst for healing is a triumph of pharmacology, a compassionate therapist, or a syringe of salt water. All it requires is a reasonable expectation of getting better. Now that's powerful medicine. And the information that I got here was from Steve Silberman from a magazine called Wired Magazine. And I think interesting to note here, like to my way of thinking, is what the article really misses is simply the power of belief. I mean, okay, fine, we're talking about the placebo being, you know, really almost an unexplained phenomenon of 3D reality. But the fact is that thought creates. And also, putting a positive spin on outer circumstance or placing a positive expectation puts you in a new timeline. Because, as Bashar says, you always get in physical reality only what you already believe to be the most likely reality you'll get. And I'm going to repeat that because I think it bears repeating. You always get in physical reality only what you already believe to be the most likely reality you'll get. Because it's all based on your beliefs, definitions, emotions, and expectations. And to support this statement, I'd like to share with you some information from the Pleiadians. And they state that essentially health is a state of mind. Genuine feelings of love and appreciation for your body convey a positive message containing essential life-sustaining signals that result in excellent health. In contrast, engaging in feelings of doom and despair, loneliness, helplessness, denial, anger, resentment, jealousy, greed, and fear conveys a negative message that promotes discord within the physical functions of the body. Negative attitudes bring about negative effects. Anger and hatred are the most damaging emotions because they close off the flow of life force energy to the body. The ability to both give and receive love in all its many shades of splendor holds the true key to healing because it is the most life-sustaining and affirming form of emotional expression. And obviously, the feelings of unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion that we've talked about many times in ET Yoga, these emotions have proved to be effective in even in scientific experiment. by connecting AIDS patients to machines that measure what they want to measure, and especially effect on DNA, when the patients were taught how to emit a feelings of unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion, their actual immune systems boosted, varying all the way up to, like, including amazing numbers, like 300,000 times as powerful. And the Pleiadians continue by saying that the power of suggestion is well understood among the medical sciences, yet its negative applications can be readily seen with the relentless, dire warnings about protecting yourself from harmful exposure to the sun and nature, or the need for vaccinations that are actually toxic chemical cocktails. And it all boils down to an underlying belief in personal powerlessness. To build the reality you want, create a clear, detailed mental image of your desired outcome. If you are ill, you must set your mind to full recovery with a healing phase that is short, easy, and sweet. Embrace the idea that everything works out just fine in a remarkable series of beneficial events. Imagination, visualization, activation of your willpower, expectation, and positive reinforcement are the keys to learning new behavioral patterns. You must expect results. When your body is not functioning properly, you have the power to change your attitude and heal yourself. And at my site, Healing the Known and the Unknown, this is where I start off on the basic premise that, this isn't the site for everybody, because just as placebo is effective in about 50% of the cases, in another 50% of the cases, it's not effective. And if you're going to do self-healing and you're going to try and distance yourself from the medical establishment and the pharmaceutical companies, you have to have some positive beliefs and some positive expectations, and you need to know what your beliefs are, and you need to do the inner work that's necessary to be effective. And so even though it's equally available to everyone and everyone has an equal opportunity to be successful by doing their own healing, it's not for everybody. And basically, the people that it's not effective for decide that for themselves by their own beliefs. And that's why I make the point at the front of my website that, if you want to go along with these negative diagnosis and prognosis and all the brutal treatments out there, like the chemotherapy and the rest of it and all the unnecessary operations, well, go see your family doctor. But if you really want to do the inner work, and unfortunately there's a lot of people out there that just, they don't want to do any work at all. I don't know. I guess they've been too accustomed to having everything given to them, or they want the quick fix or the magic pill to disguise the real issues here. And of course, when any time, to my way of thinking, you're dealing with a symptom that the physical body is reflecting, the idea here is to find out why. What's the cause of this symptom? And to just pay no attention to the cause and give you a pill to cover up the symptom, to me, that's not medicine. And interesting to note this whole idea about positive expectation, because to me, the first thing that I suggest is square one in trying to heal anything that you have is to put a positive spin on the outer condition. Because positive emotional spin in, positive experience out. And this is what I find is so damaging about some of these, diagnoses that are just so negative. And it's just a way to just give up all your power to an outside force that, in my opinion, is mostly abusive. And just like in the placebo experiments, everyone's not cured, but everyone has an equal chance to be cured. And self-healing, is not for everyone. But if you are inundated with negative beliefs, I don't know. There's really nothing at my site for you. But the truth is that the body is an amazing organic healing wonder, and it's capable of healing, even according to Bashar, 99.99% of all disease issues when it is working properly. And This includes being thoroughly detoxed and when the body gets all the proper nutrition that it needs to function. And Bashar explains that the toxicities in our world get lodged in the system in such a way that paralyze the immune system. And this is also why we recommend so much the products at the American Botanical Pharmacy, because this is where you can get a hold of all the proper detox programs and also obtain superfood, which contains all the proper nutrients you need. And research over decades has shown both Dr. Schultz, who runs the American Botanical Pharmacy, and Bashar has mentioned that 85% of all physical symptoms go away once the body has been thoroughly detoxed and is provided with proper nutrients. So, I mean, you know, to me, this is the formula. I mean, can you only imagine if 85% of the people in North America actually did this, you know? But then again, we wouldn't see the pharmaceutical companies and the medical establishment reaping the profits that they are. And another big boost to improving the immune system is sunlight. And obviously, you know, this is at no cost. And for those who have, you know, an extra $300 laying around that they might spend on entertainment, I would highly recommend Egyptian healing rods because, to me, the body is primary importance, like, let's say, over your vehicle, but yet we'll spend, you know, $300 on car maintenance, change the oil and the plugs and so forth and the antifreeze, but for the safety of the vehicle. But we don't seem to think about this when it comes to the physical body. And my site at MaxwellGreenside.com, Healing the Known and the Unknown, also goes into all the mental aspects that put you in the proper mindset to do self-healing. And the e-books there, which comprise about 87 pages of highly condensed information, and also connect you to another 150 pages to make, in my mind, a total complete package for doing self-healing. And I like to also, in connection with this whole idea of the power of belief, state something from, this is from the Divine Cosmos, actually, and some research that was done by Dr. Daniel Benor. And he compiled the most exhaustive collection of healing studies ever done. 191 studies where the power of the human mind alone was used in various attempts to heal everything from single-celled organisms, plants, animals, birds, fish, and humans. And this healing also was studied from great distances, such as from New York to Los Angeles. And of these 191 studies, 64% showed that the simple focus of the mind upon healing another life form created a very substantial healing effect. And this is another one of the major pieces of suppressed science that the criminal cartels of the world want to suppress. By this same system, viruses will not take hold unless the consciousness or the torsion field frequency of the person is diminished enough to allow it to activate. And these healing studies also show that a positive, upbeat, loving attitude is not merely a psychological phenomenon. The positive attitude actually raises the energy in the body, the torsion fields, that dramatically prevent disease. And in this case, the energetic component of these viruses is unable to activate, and they remain dormant, and they're soon wiped out by your white blood cells. And again, this is another component of how we live in a highly structured reality. Events such as plagues and diseases, they do not happen at random. They flourish when the conditions of consciousness allow them to. And even if you yourself do not have a sufficiently positive, loving attitude to out-resonate these problems on your own, it has been scientifically proven that getting other people to pray for you can have a very substantial healing effect. Other people's naturally occurring torsion fields can be directed towards you to pump up the frequency of your own energy sufficient to shatter the virus or bacteria causing the problem. And to me, this is you know, this is front page news because it's so positive and, of course, self-empowering. And in connection as well with this whole concept of the placebo effect, is one of Bashar's classic lines, that society has taught you that seeing is believing, whereas it is actually believing is seeing. That's how it works. Now, your belief could be unconscious, so that by the time you see the manifestation of it, you think, oh, it is the seeing of this idea that has created the belief within me. And so you're looking to see things that will generate in you the beliefs you think you want. But the only way you see these things to begin with is to already have the belief that you will see them. Then your physical external reality forms the symbols that are reflective of that belief. Seeing it in your reality is what lets you know you have the belief, so the belief no longer has to remain unconscious. And, you know, to my way of thinking, this whole concept of the placebo, it's kind of like, to me, I remember when I was doing workshops for people that wanted to quit smoking. And at the very end of the workshops, when the people had been successful, and I would always ask them to go back to try to discover the formula that worked for them. In other words, some people needed a support group, some people didn't. Some people just made this firm decision that was it. Some people had to go through a little bit more disciplining, especially in the initial stages of stopping to smoke, and they had to sort of plan to not be around parties or with their friends, etc. But if they really went through and mapped out the disciplines and the mental approach that they used to quit, because quitting smoking is not an easy task for a lot of people. And when they did this, what I told them was, this is your formula for success. You can now apply that same formula to almost any area in life that you want to succeed at and turn this negative into a huge positive. And to my way of thinking, this placebo effect is the same thing. Okay, you've got this narrow field, or kind of a narrow field depending on your health condition, where you're either looking at improving your health, and then you start learning about the placebo effect, and you can see from scientific proof, and it couldn't be more clear, that what you believe is. And it's incredible how the mind has the power. So the point here is to now connect this whole idea of placebo to every other area of your life, because the fact is that what you believe is what's happening in all those other areas too, not just the health area. This, what you're experiencing in life is what you believe, period. And this is even now being proved in quantum physics as well, to substantiate this whole idea. And, of course, there's not a lot of money to be made if you're changing your beliefs and changing your reality, or you're carrying yourself. So, you know, there's not a lot of focus on this kind of stuff. But the fact is that, yeah, this is how you do it. And this is how you get more in tune with your body, because your body's giving you good information, giving you good feedback. And as I mentioned before on when I mentioned the Egyptian healing rods, as you know, an added boost to this, because the latest Russian pyramid studies done with, mostly under the authority of Valery Yuvarov, and they have discovered that Egyptian healing rods help to balance the yin-yang energies of the body. And almost all diseases come because there's some issue in this flow of energy. It's the same concept, kind of like acupuncture. In fact, they're closely related. And the Egyptian healing rods not only balance the flows of yin and yang, they help to balance your internal time clock as well, and as well boost the immune system and help activate higher chakras. And so, you know, these can be aids that you can use. And actually, I say in my process when I'm talking about healing that the whole idea of utilizing some of these techniques is at some point in time, if you're strong enough, you can just have the thought and create the event. But most of the time, we sometimes need these little steps involved to help us actuate our beliefs. So to me, the Egyptian healing rods are a powerful tool. And so, again, this whole idea of connecting the placebo effect to all the other areas in your life, to me, is the main idea here. And I think this also connects, perfectly with the whole idea of what Bashar would call the threshold of believability. And I'm going to share with you some of Bashar on threshold of believability. You are on the threshold of your believability. You are exploring that threshold, and what you are truly willing to believe is possible for you. Listen to the language in which you put it. It will indicate where your threshold of believability is. As soon as the threshold of believability is squarely within you in the present, then you will experience the life you desire. As long as the threshold of your believability is still out there, somewhere in the future, no matter how close it is to you, if it's not in you, you won't experience it. Now you are exploring that threshold of believability. And someone asked, well, how can I? We're getting to that. Thank you. Let's do a little exercise, one which will assist you in recognizing where the threshold of your believability is. All right? First of all, begin by creating for yourself in any way comfortable for you. It does not have to be very complicated. It can be anything at all, that which represents the idealized way you would prefer to live. Have a picture of yourself doing something you would enjoy doing and being supported fully in that lifestyle. Not having the shadow of a doubt that you are supported, truly feeling that's the way you live. That's the way you live and everything is just fine. Understand it is the idealized essence of the way you feel about living. We're not asking you to have a picture that is absolutely structurally rigidized. We're talking about the lifestyle in essence in the way you feel. Have that picture in your mind with that idealized state, and then I will ask you a series of questions. Do you have that mental picture in mind? Yeah? Okay. Now, be very honest with yourself and also with me for now in these answers. Do you honestly think that within, oh, say, 10 of your years, will that be enough time for you to be able to create that way of life? And for most people, they'll say yes. Well, do you believe you'll be living that way in a month? And most people will say no. And I guess one of Bashar's lines is, yeah, by the way, hesitation usually indicates no. Do you believe you can be living that way you prefer to be living in 1 year? And there's a pause. So that's indicative of no. And do you believe you can do it in 3 years? And let's say a person says, well, I believe I could do it then. Well, all right, are you sure? Can you really feel it? In a year. And the person says, well, if I put all my attention on doing that, well, yes. All right, well, why would you do otherwise? Why would you have to put your attention on anything you do not want to do? And the person says, well, I guess I think I have to take care of a lot of other details. And this is the point that I think most of us get into is sort of like, no, we don't really believe it can happen right now. And if we narrow it down to like 1 year, well, then that may be possible, but there's all these details. But understand, when you are doing what truly represents the vibration of your reality, all the details take care of themselves. Not that you will not be doing anything, it is simply that when you live the essential way, when you live in synchronous harmony with the path you chose to be, everything is already on that path in the format it needs to be and will fall into place as it needs to fall to let you continue being the person you chose to be. You will automatically and effortlessly and coincidentally attract into your life all the tools necessary to allow the details to be taken care of. It is all one package. You see, the difficulty you're having is in thinking that your life is a series of separated ideas rather than one homogeneous event in which everything that needs to be done to allow you to be the person you need to be will be taken care of automatically. The things that don't get done, if you are truly being who you know you need to be, don't need to be done to allow you to be that person. Sometimes that's a tricky concept, but the point here is that, again, I think you can take this analogy, and sometimes you can go, well, let's say that you you desire to be an airplane pilot, for example. Can you be that in tomorrow? Well, no, because you don't even have a license. Okay, so there are some things that have to be done, but can you do it in a year? Well, some people may say yes. Some people may say 5 years. But if you say it's 5 years away, and somebody says, can you do it in 4, and you hesitate, so you're 4 years away from being on the threshold of believability, and the key here is that it's not going to happen unless you can cut that believability down to now. What are some of those things that you have that you think you have to do in order to get to where you want to be? And maybe you can, once you identify some of those things, maybe you can eliminate some of those as not necessary and cut your time down to 4 or maybe 3 or maybe, you know, 6 months or 2 months. So this is a kind of a neat little tool, I think, to use to find out where your threshold of believability is with respect to anything. So I find that to be an interesting tool. And another big factor with respect to this whole process is the whole concept of deservability. And as Bashar would say, many of you for a long period of time have assumed that hate is the opposite of love. I guess he would say that it is the true, really that guilt is really the true opposite of love, because hate may be the diametric polarity expression of love, but guilt is the true mechanical opposite. For love is complete and utter self-worthiness and creativity, while guilt is the belief in lack of self-worth, and it stifles creativity. Hate involves the concept that you deserve something, where guilt is completely devoid of the sense of deservability. In fact, guilt is the denial of your very existence. And Bashar would actually go so far as to say all the techniques that people do, even in their towards their spiritual progress, without some sense of value and deservability, only minimal results could be expected. So this is, to me, you know, this is a biggie. Therefore, the belief in your lack of deservability allows you to be able to create a scenario in which you actually keep at bay all the things in life that are yours by birthright, such as happiness, ecstasy, and creativity. Guilt is the bitter pill that was injected into your society by your society to keep you in the status quo of lack of self-empowerment. And I think we can all connect to that whole concept about being born in sin kind of ties into that as well. In fact, to my way of thinking, the actual analogy of a baptism was best described by Baba Ram Dass years ago, when he said that a baptism is really supposed to be a celebration of when you realize the possibility of achieving a oneness with your higher self. That's the true meaning of a baptism, and that's my favorite meaning anyway. And because when you truly believe you're not connected to all that is, or God, or infinite creation, when you truly believe you must control by force in order to get anything in life, then do you further the re-continuation of limitation and further the continuation of guilt. And by the way, the nickname that humans have kind of picked up along the way are masters of limitation. Like, we've got it down to a science. But the beauty of that is that, as Bashar would explain, is that the rubber band theory here also is applicable, that the further you pull a rubber band back when you let it go, the further it flies when you let it go. So the further you get caught up in all this density and all this limitation, when you finally spring forward, you do so at great speed. And to me, this also reminds me of the idea about not fighting the negative and create new positives. That you don't get peace by hating war. You get peace by loving peace. And all these, you know, the war against drugs and the war against cancer and the war against this, all that kind of stuff, all it does is perpetuate what it is you are against. And to me, the two concepts that we really got to, get clear about is that's one of them, that, to go and create the positive. And second, to me, is this whole idea about respect for life. And we've got to get to a point as the human race, because, you know, there's only one race on this planet, the human race, and we've got to come to the conclusion that war is not an option. It is just not an option. And this is a place that we've got to get to. And from my way of thinking, one of the good ways to take an active part in that is to be involved with the Bashar Peace Clock, which at every day at noon you take a minute out to either send a prayer for peace or meditate in your own way, but connect for 60 seconds a day towards creating a world of peace. And I guess as well, it's about that point in time here now to connect also to what I call Bashar's Big Four. And Bashar's Big Four, he doesn't call it that. I guess I do, because it's kind of a simple way for me to try to remember some of the basic concepts, because they all relate to this idea of placebo effect, or what you believe. And more and more people, I think, are becoming more aware of the whole idea that our outer reality, or our experience in 3D, is a reflection of our thoughts, beliefs, definitions, emotions, expectations. And it's not just, kind of a vague connection or symbolic in any way. It's an actual perfect mirror of your three experience in 3D reality is a perfect mirror. And it's a perfect mirror of you. And I also like the Bashar saying that, like when people pass from this dimension and they pass, we call them when they passed on or they died. He says, well, if you look back at that world you just left, that's you. And all the complaints and the blames and the criticisms and all the justifications for your circumstance and all that kind of stuff, that's just all in this behavioral, in behavioral language, it's victimhood. You know, and this is what, as humanity, what we're trying to get out of. And as Bashar would say, the only way that you're going to change your circumstance or change your, if you want to change something, you have to first acknowledge ownership of it. Otherwise, you can't change it. So this all comes down to responsibility. And responsibility just means that as well. Responsibility. The ability to respond. It doesn't mean you're to blame. It's like outer circumstances aren't there to blame you. They're not there to make you feel guilty. They are there to show you what you believe. So if you desire to change things, then you change the inner and the outer will change. And there's a few little tricks and traps to that as well. And I think one of the ones that Bashar mentions with respect to the show The Secret, or what he calls The Secret to the Secret. And for those that haven't seen The Secret, it's more about, that thought creates. And, of course, a lot of people look at that material and they just say it's all fairy tales and whatever. Just like a lot of people, look at my website and say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, because it's all about, how to self-heal. Well, it's not for everybody. And if you don't believe it, well, for sure, it's not for you. You don't believe it. But if you believe it, yeah, it can be. And I forget who the great man once said was, whether you believe it or whether you can or whether you think you can't, either way you're right. And that's about the size of it. But Bashar would say that the secret to the secret was, as he's noticed, a lot of people just don't generate enough compassion or emotional excitement about what it is they're creating. There's a certain lack there of excitement. Passion would be the more correct word than compassion. It's being passionate about being passionate, as he would say. And one of the little tricks there about creating the in terms of reality creation. And another one of the techniques that I think is highly valuable is that sometimes when we have visualized a certain situation and we would prefer that particular situation, sometimes we look into the outer reality and we don't see the change yet. And then we kind of get that idea that, well, nothing's happening. I think that's a tricky one, but it's a mistake in thinking as well. Don't assume that nothing's happening just because you don't see it right away. In fact, I think this is the big connection between third and fourth density. Fourth density, when you think something, it starts creating and manifesting right away. Well, it does in 3D too, but we've got this time lag between when we're, when we are focusing on the creation of it and the actual appearance of it. And this time lag is getting tighter and tighter all the time. And the more we eventually will approximate no time, as Archangel Michael would say, when we experience a no time in 4D as opposed to linear time, we'll see how fast our manifestations take place from thought. And I think that's 16 seconds when you focus on something, the actual concept starts to come into being. So you can see it's powerful, but sometimes we don't see it. And I guess the best analogy there would be if you were at a canyon like the Grand Canyon and you yelled out, number one, and after a while the echo comes back, number one, and then you yell out, number one, and then you yell out, number two, and what you're going to hear is number one comes back, and then after number one comes number two. So the second echo. Well, let's make this analogous to, you know, belief number one, belief number two, and belief number one being your current disempowered belief. Well, yeah, you're going to see the reflections and the echoes of that for a while until the new empowering belief comes back as the echo. So don't give up on the idea here is, as Marilyn the magician would say, don't give up on your dream. Just don't get attached to how and when it's coming. And in some cases, as Swami Satchidananda would say, it's called desire on hold, because maybe your higher self's got a better plan, or maybe he wants you to experience some other things first before you get it. But always believe that you always get what you want. It's not ever that you don't get what you want. It's just that it might not be quite the right time yet. And from the higher self's perspective, sometimes, you know, it's to your benefit to not get what you want right away. Doesn't mean the concept isn't true. And the other thing that what I call one of the, so to me, the first part of the Bashar's Big Four is this whole idea about the mirror reflection being a reflection of your thoughts, beliefs, definitions, and emotions. And second, the primary responsibility of the rational mind is to put a positive spin on outer circumstance, because all events are inherently neutral. And it's the spin we put on them that creates the experience. And the more people that clue into this, I mean, if you want to be a magician, here's how to be a magician. What's magic except for, you know, bringing something into form? And this is how to do it. This is your point of power. When events happen, throw a positive spin on them because something good can come of it. And if your take on it is that it's negative, well, then you can expect a negative experience. And really is as simple as that. And once you clue into that, in fact, this is one of those, I'm now starting, by the way, to keep a log when people email me in. So if you're one of those people out there that, you know, you're starting to get
catch on to this one, that when you put positive spin on outer circumstance, that's the experience you're going to get, and you can specifically relate to it, please email me in, because it makes my week to see that other people get this. You know, it's one of those concepts. I know when I first started out, it just blew my mind because it works. Like, whoa, this is incredible. And really, when you think about it, I call it stacking the deck of life in your favor, because no matter what's going on out there, you can always put a positive spin on it. And it sounds, you know, a little bit hokey, I know, sometimes, but I say, okay, try it. Check it out. And then the third one, I guess, is this responsibility thing, because 100% responsibility for everything you experience. That means everything. It means the positive, the negative, whatever you label negative. I don't know, the most extreme example I can say is, you're doing the dishes and somebody's out there stealing the tires off your car, and, you know, the bottom line is, the normal response is, you know, to blame the person that's stealing the tires off your car. And I know it's a tough one to accept for a lot of people, but the fact is, you create everything and attract everything. So maybe you just bought those tires and you were afraid somebody was going to steal them, or your belief system is such that you attract it. But the fact is that nothing happens by accident. And you need to take a look at your own beliefs. And I think this is another one of the it's a key component in this whole idea of spiritual progress, in that, you know, we're not ready totally to see through all the illusions in our life. But the fact is, for most people, most of what they consider to be reality, most of it's not so. And you really got to take a hard look at some of the things that you believe, like, to know what it is you believe anyway, so you can kind of change some of those beliefs if you don't prefer them. And if you want to work backwards from that, see what you're experiencing in life, because those are reflective of your beliefs. That's why the experience is there in the first place, so that then you can see what the experience is and then work backwards. And if you need to change something, you need to change it. But I don't mind telling you that we have, as a society, a lot of beliefs that just aren't so. And we've been taught a lot of these for certain people's control over the masses. And it really does take a lot, some inner work to free yourself up from some of these beliefs that are not objectively so. And when you see how powerful individual belief is, you can see that this can also be analogous to mass consciousness or global consciousness, and the consciousness of the masses and what they believe and how it's reflected in our outer experience. And the fourth point in the Bashar's Big Four is this whole idea that state of being is what really matters. And as he would say, outer circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. And matters not to the extent that these things are insignificant, but it's your state of being that creates more experience. And your emotional vibration or frequency is paramount. And this is what's been now confirmed by science, is what they call the brain in the heart, which is 5,000 times more powerful than the brain in the head, that emits an energy field about 10 feet from your body that interfaces with the morphogenetic field, which creates your experience in 3D. So the primary important factor here is emotion. And on that note, hope you picked up something from tonight's show. And my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.